October 9th, 2022, 16:51 hours. Ward Green here. I've got my down pants on today. It's just barely cold enough. I can wear my down pants so that I don't have to use the heater as much. Or if I do, I still have to use the heater. But my small heater here below the table, which will just create possible reflections off my glasses. So it's turned off right now. But I can use the pants, and I won't have to use as much of the heater. Or I can use the heater and I won't get cold if it's really cold in the room, you know, if it gets colder. I've got my down jacket if I need it. It's a lightweight down, so it's for indoors. It's the jacket I like for when it gets colder indoors. Last winter was the first winter I ever wore it. And little children, today's reading is Psalm 9 and Ecclesiastes 9. Maybe Matthew chapter 7, possibly, if we get there. I've done some research on low-light cameras, and I discovered the same camera that I believe Max Tech is using. And I didn't know this, but I discovered the existence that, of which I did not know before, of the Sony Alpha 7S III camera, which is a very good, it's low, it's got a fairly low resolution compared to some other cameras, but that makes it particularly great for low light situations because the size of the sensor is so large. It's a full-frame camera, and each pixel is large because of the fact that there's only 12 million pixels, so it's roughly 12 million. So it's not like the 20 megapixel or 40 megapixel or whatever. I mean, nowadays they're making them bigger and bigger in terms of the number of pixels. But the best low-light performance is by having, most of the time, all other things being equal, it's by having larger pixel size and fewer pixels. So 12 million pixels is still plenty to get, 2,000 times 4,000, which is roughly 4K. That's 4K video, but it's 8 million pixels roughly, right? So a 12 megapixel camera is a good size, especially if it's as good as the Sony A7S III with the low light characteristics that it has. There's another song. Which song did I want to play? Maybe we can start with a song. I don't know, just for a change. Do I have it, ready to go here? I'm not sure if I have it ready to go or not. Would that be it? No. I don't know what that is. Well, that's, no, okay, no, I know what that is, yeah. Oh, I know what that is, too. Okay, let's see. It's not here. Oh, okay, it is here. I just have to. Oh, I'm looking at SD cards. Ah, that's what I was looking at. All right. Let me get something out of my way here. I'm going to be dragging my camera for a second here just so I can find the. Or did I move it? I moved it. Okay. I want to Oh, here it is. Yeah, okay, I've got it now. This is the song I was thinking of playing anyway, one of these songs. From near the end of this video. Let's get this sort of out of our way. Let me go back momentarily so I can see whether my camera's in the right place so it doesn't obstruct the program. And there we go. Let's see. Let's get back to my display there. Let's see. This is too much brightness. Let's go to something dark. Is that better? Pretty good, I guess. Adequate. Okay, now let's see. I wanted to play this one. Yeah, I wanted to play the Sweet Georgia Brown from this Live in Germany, June 2018 outdoor concert with Joshua Stefan, Richard Smith. I don't know who the fiddle player is. Honestly, I don't know yet. And I don't really know the other players, the bass player and the rhythm guitar player. But Richard Smith is the other lead guitar player. He's sitting to our left and to the right of Yosho as we look at Yosho. So this is Georgia Brown, Sweet Georgia Brown, live in Germany, June 2018. If all goes well, that's what it is. Thank you. That was great. Okay. Now, what was I? I'm just trying to think what the next thing is I was going to do now. Well, I was talking about the cameras, right? Let's come back to our study too for the day. But okay, let me enlarge the. Yeah. The insert again. Enlarge this. Oh no, I can just do it. Yeah, I want to do that by. There we go. By Command Z, which would just take me back to exactly how I had it before. That is the way to get right back to just by using undo. Command Z, undoing the change I made. So that's the program I'm using is OBS Studio. A free open source program, beautiful piece of software. And by the way, yeah, the way that you control the output is you click on settings. If I drag this OBS Studio down here, in OBS Studio you've got something called settings at the bottom. You click on settings, and then you select output. There you can select what the bit rate should be, but I didn't change that from whatever was set. But you can also change the, maybe it's video. Yeah, the video, right. The output of the video, when you select video, you can set this, the aspect ratio. Well, not right now, you can't. It seems to be automatic. That's interesting. But that's because I selected quality. When I went to output, you select encoder preset. Okay. There was something I selected in terms of general. It's in here somewhere. Advanced. There's something about the quality of the video. And when you set that, and maybe that was set somewhere else. Let me think now, where would that have been set? It's got to be under settings, I think. Somewhere. There was a place, I believe, the audio bitrate, the video bitrate. Well, maybe by selecting the bitrate, too. That's another thing. Possibly by selecting that, but I don't think that was it. High quality, right here, yeah. The medium file size, that it's not available for setting it right now because I'm running. That's because I'm already streaming. Yeah, I'm already recording. That's right. So these things could be changed. I could change the output. If I went to video, I could change that size, except I can't change it right now from 1669 by 1080. There's no option to change it because I'm recording right now. That's the reason. So when you're recording, obviously you can't be changing what you're doing at the same time as you're doing it. So that makes perfect sense. Okay. So that's how you do that when you're not recording anyway. You can go and change those settings in OBS Studio, which is a great thing to have. And you can do things like make this, you know, the video can be smaller if the resolution is smaller and you don't have as many pixels. Width and height, then you're going to get a lot smaller file. You can store that more easily and upload it more easily, etc. And you can also select, I believe, what format it saves it in, whether it's MP3 or what. You have a lot. Let's do that again. Let me check that again. MP3 output, or select output. I'm selecting the 264x264 for the encoder. Here it is, yeah. Let's drag it down here. Let's get it. Maybe I can drag it down here. Let's see. I drag that. There we go. So the settings that I'm using. Right. See, you see there? It says high quality medium file size and then MP4. MP4 I selected for the file type and the software X264 compression setting, which is a good setting for editing. If you're going to edit the file later. The editing I do is I do a handbrake processing using handbrakes to compress the file afterwards and get it into a different even smaller resolution so I can upload it. I down resolve it or down process it into 720p. But Handbrake also compresses files if they're not optimal in terms of saving space. Handbrake is a free program also, and I use it in that way. I think it's got the, I think it's a Silicon, where is it? Activity Monitor. Let's get Activity Monitor running. Search for Handbrake. If I do that, let's see. I'm getting warm. Yeah, I'm just getting very warm here. Let's search for Handbrake. It's not called, maybe it's called H-Brake. I don't see it. Is it running? Oh, maybe it's not running. It's not running. Okay, let's get it running. Right, that's why. I didn't have it running yet. There it is, Handbrake. Yeah, it's the Apple Silicon version of it. So it's available for Apple Silicon, which is amazing. It's great when they, because I mean, not every program has been converted to Apple Silicon yet, and some may never be, I suppose, but they can still be run on Apple Silicon in many cases by using the Rosetta 2, which is built in to Mac OS on Apple Silicon. So you can still run the older forms of the programs by this translation program called Rosetta 2, which is the later version of the original Rosetta program that Apple originally made to help run programs that were written for PowerPC and to be able to run them on Intel processors in Mac OS, because Apple switched from PowerPC to Intel for their computers at some point in the past. That was just before I bought my computer, actually. I bought my two iMacs. So it was around 2009, 2010 where they switched over, I believe, sometime around that time. Or just very, I wouldn't be too sure of exactly when, but I could be wrong. Anyway, but here we go. Maybe I'm talking about cameras. I was talking about cameras. I'm pretty excited about the possibility. Oh, yeah. Also, I need to adjust. Because it's a laptop camera, it's in the lid of the laptop, and if I want to frame my head just so, I have to adjust the tilt of the laptop screen to get it tilting the right way, or it won't be framed exactly the same way every time I open the laptop is the issue there. So we have a camera. I've got a camera possible. The problem is I could buy I think it's the R6. Is that what it's called? Yeah, I think the Canon R6. Oh, yeah, that brings me to what I wanted to talk about. Yeah, the main thing I really wanted to talk about other than the Bible today was the idea that people who don't believe in cause and effect, if they don't believe in Jehovah having absolute power and they only believe in random chance, if that's what they believe, then what it leads to is what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about how that affects the way they live. Okay, and I know what this is like because I used to be like that, so I know what it's like. I could speak to it and describe what it's like. But what used to happen to me is pretty much the same thing. Superstitions take over and dominate because you don't know what's really going to cause anything to happen. If you don't believe in cause and effect, then you don't believe in your own responsibility either. You don't believe that what you do will have an effect. You just think it doesn't matter what choices I make. It doesn't matter which choices I make. It might turn out well, it might turn out poorly. And because I can't control the outcome, there's no point in even trying. There's no point in making any effort. That's the result. That's what happens when you believe in randomness. You don't take any action toward, using your information that you have to try to make a good thing happen or to try to prevent bad things from happening. But when you believe in cause and effect, then that makes you more responsible, or it makes you realize, well, I can have an effect here. I will have an effect if I take due pains. If I take pains and exercise due diligence and make an effort to, you know, have an impact, then I can make a difference. That's what happens when you believe in God, or when you believe in cause and effect. But there's no way to believe in cause and effect if God doesn't exist, if Jehovah's not real, if he's not actually true. There's no way then to believe in cause and effect, because if it doesn't come from a person who's, you know, immortal, you know, who's lived forever, if it doesn't come from that source, then it's not going to be as reliable. If cause and effect comes from, well, you know, the big corporations, that's a different thing, because they could be destroyed. You know, I mean, they could disappear. They're not as reliable, and they're far less loving and less perfect also than Jehovah is. So, and the reason I'm talking about this is because I'm trying to buy a camera right now, okay? And I wanted to make this illustration. I've noticed that there's some negative reviews about certain cameras. Like, you'll get one person who says, or maybe sometimes two people, or maybe just one, but one person, let's say it's one person who says that camera has a defective whatever it is, and they're the only person who says that. But you can choose between buying that camera, or you can buy another camera. Like, you know, the person who says it has a defective such and such, they also say, I never banged it, I never dropped it, I never touched it in any bad way, I never treated it badly or got dirt on it, but this thing, it was defective, you know, or it broke down after a certain period of time in this way. This one thing, one part of the camera proved to be defective. And then you've got, let's say, another camera where you have no reports like that. You got no reports. Nobody says it's bad. Okay, nobody says anything broke. All the reports on that camera are good. So you've got a choice. And they both are rated roughly the same, let's say. Their overall rating is, let's say, it's pretty good. Or maybe the one that had the defect is slightly lower because of that defective report, whatever. Or that report of the defect, I mean. So, but even if they were exactly the same. But it doesn't really matter which is rated higher. What matters is which one you like the most. I mean, you're going to decide, you want to buy the one you like the most, let's say. Okay, but the one that has the defect is the one you like the most, or more. You like it more. You like it more than the one that doesn't have the defect. Just because of the other features, you like the one that has the defect, not because it has the defect. You like it just because it has other features. Okay, so what are you going to do? If you believe in chance, you might just say, well, that person just had a defective one. It's just chance. It doesn't have any cause. And you might just buy the one that had the defective component. But I think that's the difference now for me. When I see those sorts of reports, I'm more real-world oriented because of my belief, I believe, in logic-oriented because of my belief in Jehovah and Jesus Christ, because I believe in love and cause and effect. I believe that every defect has a cause, and that defect could occur again because of the same cause that caused it to occur in that case where that person found a defect, that there was a cause. That's what I believe. So because I believe that, I'm almost certain to choose the other camera that didn't have the reported defect. Almost certainly I will choose that, even if it costs twice as much. You know, well, especially if I might think if it costs more, it might be more reliable too. But I mean, even if it has things about it that are not as good, it has to have basically everything. Okay, I'm probably not going to choose it if it doesn't have the features I want, and if it's not the best at the most important things. I won't choose that camera, right? Even if the other one had the reported defect. But I probably won't buy the one with the defect. I'll probably find another model that doesn't have a reported defect, just because of the way I believe in cause and effect, and I believe in the true God, and I believe that, therefore, since there is cause and effect, because God created everything, everything has a cause, and therefore my results that I will get in my life depend on what I do, depend on my choices, and that all the defects that are in the world are created by some cause, and that I can avoid those defects by choosing products that don't have reported defects. That's the difference. So I don't go with my feeling that, well, I like that device, and I don't care what the reports say. That's all chance, and I'm just going to buy the one I like. I can't do that anymore because I realize I've had enough experiences where bad things happen because I made the wrong choices, because I didn't listen to the information coming in. See, that's the difference. That's the difference between cause and effect and random chance. If you believe in cause and effect, then you will avoid choices that open you up to bad results and defects, and you will work harder to eliminate the causes of bad results too, because you'll realize it's cause and effect. It's cause and effect. There's no randomness. It's not, life is not, well, I'm so happy that that I randomly happen to be here, and that everything is good, that because of some random reason everything is good. That's really it has no logic, right? There's no logic in that viewpoint. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have times when that doesn't mean we shouldn't have a time when we just rejoice and be happy and, you know, enjoy life, where we don't have to have a logical reason for rejoicing. There's God's undeserved kindness. That's what it is. It's God's undeserved kindness. We didn't deserve to be here, right? That's not random chance. That's undeserved kindness. We were created even though we didn't deserve to be created. That's God's grace, or his undeserved kindness is another translation of that phrase, of that idea of grace. God's grace. So anyway, now let's little children, let's read Psalm 9, if you're ready. Let's pray first. Jehovah, help us in our study today, in our reading of Psalms 9, Ecclesiastes 9, and hopefully Matthew 7. Help us to be humble and to be loving in our everyday lives, because love is your preeminent quality, and we are created in your image, Jehovah. So thank you also for this day that we have through your undeserved kindness upon us, in Jesus' name. Amen. So it says at the beginning, it's a melody of David. It's to the director upon Mathlabin. I will laud you, O Jehovah, with all my heart. I will declare all your wonderful works. I will rejoice and exult in you. I will make melody to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they will stumble and perish from before you, for you have executed my judgment and my cause. You have sat on the throne judging with righteousness. You have rebuked nations. You have destroyed the wicked one. Their name you have wiped out to time indefinite, even forever. O you enemy, your desolations have come to their perpetual finish, and the cities that you have uprooted, the very mention of them will certainly perish. As for Jehovah, he will sit to time indefinite, firmly establishing his throne for judgment itself, and he himself will judge the productive land in righteousness. He will judicially try national groups in uprightness, and Jehovah will become a secure height for anyone crushed, a secure height in times of distress, and those knowing your name will trust in you, for you will certainly not leave those looking for you, O Jehovah. Make melody, you people, to Jehovah, who is dwelling in Zion. Tell among the peoples his deeds. For when looking for bloodshed, he will certainly remember those very ones. He is sure not to forget the outcry of the afflicted ones. Show me favor, O Jehovah. See my affliction by those hating me. O you who are lifting me up from the gates of death, in order that I may declare all your praiseworthy deeds in the gates of the daughter of Zion, that I may be joyful in your salvation. The nations have sunk down into the pit that they have made, in the net that they hid. Their own foot has been caught. Jehovah is known by the judgment that he has executed. By the activity of his own hands, the wicked one has been ensnared. Higgaion, Selah. Wicked people will turn back to Sheol, even all the nations forgetting God. For not always will the poor one be forgotten, nor will the hope of the meek ones ever perish. Do arise, O Jehovah. Let not mortal man prove superior in strength. Let the nations be judged before your face. To put fear into them, O Jehovah, that the nations may know that they are but mortal men. Selah. That's Psalm 9. Look where it says there, let not mortal man, verse 19, prove superior in strength. Isn't that something? There, it even acknowledges the idea that some mortal men may well be trying to prove that they're superior to Jehovah in strength. That's an incredible thing to acknowledge. How could they be superior to Jehovah in strength? For us believers, certainly, that's not likely at all, that humans could be superior to Jehovah is a ridiculous notion to us, but that's how some people think, because they don't believe in Jehovah. They believe that they have superior strength to Jehovah. That's what jumped out. That's what I realized, that I never absorbed that before in the same way, or I didn't learn that the first number of times I ever read this. I thought it could also mean let not mortal man prove superior in strength to your servants, but it doesn't really imply that. It could mean that, yeah, but it's implying that there are immortal men, if that's the case. If it's saying that there are mortal men superior in strength to somebody, it's either saying that the somebody is Jehovah or some immortal, or it's implying that there's such a thing as an immortal man, which is not a Bible concept. So, I mean, men are human. I mean, men are mortal, rather. Humans are mortal. So it's not a Bible concept to have an immortal man. So I realize it's saying, it must logically be saying that when you've read the whole Bible too, as I have, it seems to me, as a person who's read the whole Bible, that it's saying, let not mortal man prove superior in strength to you, Jehovah. Let the nations be judged before your face. Don't let them prove superior in strength. How could they? It's very interesting that the nations may know that they are but mortal men, verse 20. In other words, a lot of mortal men don't know they're mortal, and that's why they carry on the way they do. A lot of men and humans in general don't know that they're mortal. They don't think about death. Now, it's good not to fear death, but they don't even have a... They believe they're immortal, or they believe they're superior to Jehovah, and since Jehovah's immortal, the only way they can be superior to Jehovah is to be immortal. So they believe that they're immortal, implicitly. That's implied in that. It's a very interesting concept that I had not really thought of or studied. That's why it's important to reread the Bible and not just read it once, because there are ideas that will be seen later on that you didn't see the first time. Okay, Ecclesiastes 9. For I took all this to my heart, even to search out all this, that the righteous ones and the wise ones and their works are in the hand of the true God. Where was that? Oh, yeah. I missed one verse. Mankind, or one part of the first verse, mankind are not aware of either the love or the hate that were all prior to them. All are the same in what all have. One eventuality there is to the righteous one and the wicked one, the good one and the clean one and the unclean one, and the one sacrificing and the one that is not sacrificing. The good one is the same as the sinner. The one swearing is the same as whoever has been afraid of a sworn oath. This is what is calamitous in all that has been done under the sun, that because there is one eventuality to all, the heart of the sons of men is also full of bad, and there is madness in their heart during their lifetime, and after it, to the dead ones. For as respects whoever is joined to all the living, there exists confidence, because a live dog is better off than a dead lion. For the living are conscious that they will die, but as for the dead, they are conscious of nothing at all. Neither do they any more have wages, because the remembrance of them has been forgotten. Also their love and their hate and their jealousy have already perished, and they have no portion any more to time indefinite in anything that has to be done under the sun. Go, eat your food with rejoicing and drink your wine with a good heart, because already the true God has found pleasure in your works. On every occasion, let your garments prove to be white, and let oil not be lacking upon your head. See life with the wife whom you love, all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, all the days of your vanity, for that is your portion in life, and in your hard work with which you are working hard under the sun. All that your hand finds to do, do with your very power. For there is no work, nor devising, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in Sheol, the place to which you are going. I return to see under the sun that the swift do not have the race, nor the mighty ones the battle, nor do the wise also have the food, nor do the understanding ones also have the riches, nor do even those having knowledge have the favor, because time and unforeseen occurrence befall them all. For man also does not know his time. Just like fishes that are being taken in an evil net, and like birds that are being taken in a trap, so the sons of men themselves are being ensnared at a calamitous time when it falls upon them suddenly. Also this I saw as respects wisdom under the sun, and it was great to me. There was a little city, and the men in it were few, and there came to it a great king, and he surrounded it and built against it great strongholds. And there was found in it a man, needy but wise, and that one provided escape for the city by his wisdom. But no man remembered that needy man. And I myself said, wisdom is better than mightiness. Yet the wisdom of the needy one is despised, and his words are not listened to. The words of the wise ones in quietness are more to be heard than the cry of one ruling among stupid people. Wisdom is better than implements for fighting, and merely one sinner can destroy much good. That's Ecclesiastes 9. I myself said, verse 16, wisdom is better than mightiness, and yet the wisdom of the needy one is despised, and his words are not listened to. The wisdom of the needy one is despised. And it's just amazing and just incredible. It's just unbelievably divine, the correlation between Ecclesiastes 9 and Psalms 9, where we talked about mortality. And then it's talking about mortality in Ecclesiastes 9, just like it did in Psalms. There's one eventuality to all, right? A live dog is better off than a dead lion. We all die. I mean, this is the idea of mortality. All life that we know on Earth dies. There's nothing immortal on Earth. You know, and once we die, that's it. That's it. It's over. The dead are conscious of nothing at all. In verse 5, there's no immortal soul. It's not immortal. It's not automatic that we gain immortality when we die. That's not a Bible principle, because 9:5 here, the dead are conscious of nothing at all. Verse 6, they have no portion anymore to time indefinite in anything that has to be done under the sun. Well, that's different from the angels, who have, they're mortal too. The angels are mortal. So if they die, which they, only if they make the wrong choice, could that happen. But the angels do have a portion in what's done under the sun. Even though they're mortal, they don't need to die. They don't die of old age. So they could have a portion to time indefinite. So we don't automatically gain immortality by becoming immortal creatures either, because Jesus gained immortality, and he does have a portion to time indefinite in what's being done under the sun. So if, as it says here, we humans die and have no more portion anymore in anything that has to be done under the sun, then we don't gain this immortality automatically. We don't go to be with Christ automatically. We don't gain a portion in what's done under the sun forever. We lose that portion when we die. That's the principle in the Bible. But we can get that portion should we actually be in the heavenly group with Christ, the bride of Christ, part of the bride of Christ. So let's carry back, or let's proceed, carry on. Let's go back to the index and carry on with possibly Matthew 7 here. Let's see if this has any if it bears any correlation to what we've been studying, because I'm not conscious of any correlation that this bears to what we've been studying. This is just Jesus teaching. It's the final chapter of his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, which is 3 chapters long. It's Matthew 5-7, if you want to read it in its entirety. We've been reading it off and on, and currently we're at 45 minutes in this video here. So, stop judging that you may not be judged. For with what judgment you are judging, you will be judged. And with the measure that you are measuring out, they will measure out to you. Why then do you look at the straw in your brother's eye, but do not consider the rafter in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, allow me to extract the straw from your eye, when, look, a rafter is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First extract the rafter from your own eye, and then you will see clearly how to extract the straw from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, neither throw your pearls before swine, that they may never trample them under their feet and turn around and rip you open. Keep on asking, and it will be given you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and it will be opened to you. For everyone asking receives, and everyone seeking finds, and to everyone knocking it will be opened. Indeed, who is the man among you whom his son asks for bread? He will not hand him a stone, will he? Or perhaps he will ask for a fish. He will not hand him a serpent, will he? Therefore, if you, although being wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will your Father who is in the heavens give good things to those asking him? All things, therefore, that you want men to do to you, you also must likewise do to them. This, in fact, is what the law and the prophets mean. Go in through the narrow gate, because broad and spacious is the road leading off into destruction, and many are the ones going in through it. Whereas narrow is the gate and cramped the road leading off into life, and few are the ones finding it. Be on the watch for the false prophets that come to you in sheep's covering, but inside they are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will recognize them. Never do people gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles, do they? Likewise, every good tree produces fine fruit, but every rotten tree produces worthless fruit. A good tree cannot bear worthless fruit, neither can a rotten tree produce fine fruit. Every tree not producing fine fruit gets cut down and thrown into the fire. Really, then, by their fruits, you will recognize those men. Not everyone saying to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but the one doing the will of my Father who is in the heavens will. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and expel demons in your name and perform many powerful works in your name? And yet then I will confess to them, I never knew you. Get away from me, you workers of lawlessness. Therefore, everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them will be likened to a discreet man who built his house upon the rock mass. And the rain poured down, and the floods came, and the winds blew and lashed against that house, but it did not cave in, for it had been founded upon the rock mass. Furthermore, everyone hearing these sayings of mine and not doing them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain poured down, and the floods came, and the winds blew and struck against that house, and it caved in, and its collapse was great. Now when Jesus finished these sayings, the effect was that the crowds were astounded at his way of teaching. For he was teaching them as a person having authority, and not as their scribes. It's Matthew 7. And there was a correlation, very close correlation, when it talked about the immortality. We talked about the idea of mortality in both Psalm 9 and Ecclesiastes 9. And we saw that there was a correlation here because Jesus said in verse 21 about entering the kingdom of the heavens, not everybody would enter the kingdom of the heavens, even if they said that Jesus was Lord. That didn't guarantee. If you say Jesus is Lord, you're saying the truth, but that doesn't guarantee that you will enter into the kingdom. It's not necessarily going to be enough, because there are people who claim to be doing God's work, and those people will be denied by Jesus because they aren't workers of good things. They're workers of lawlessness. There are such people who claim to be doing the works of Jehovah in Jesus' name, the works of the true God and of his Messiah, Jesus. And even if they say they're doing the works of those ones, Jesus will be denying them if they're doing works of lawlessness, as he says there. So this is really the idea that, you know, this mortality, we all are subject to it, but there are those who will be able to get into the kingdom if they do the right things. If they believe in Jesus and work righteousness, they will be able to possibly get into the kingdom. If Jesus accepts them and says, yes, you did righteousness. So, and Jesus is the judge of those things. That's why also it says, you know, with what judgment you are judging, you will be judged in verse 2. And verse 1 says, stop judging that you may not be judged. You'll be judged by the same standard with which you judge others. So Jesus has already been judged by a certain standard. And if other people do not measure up to the standard that Jesus set, he will have to reject them because they had an opportunity. They even believed in him. These are the ones that he will reject. It's the ones who knew about Jesus, they studied him, or they pretended to study him, and they professed him in their lives, but they didn't do the works that were the right works according to love and what was good and what was righteous after the example of Jesus. They didn't really follow his example in doing good things. But they were workers of lawlessness, and that's why, even though they claim to believe in Jesus, they will be rejected by Jesus. By him. He's the judge, actually. Jesus will be the judge. So it's completely fitting that it says here, stop judging that you may not be judged. For with what judgment you are judging, you will be judged. Well, Jesus will be the judge, right? But he's not going to judge unrighteously. And he didn't judge while he was on the earth. He didn't judge while he was in human form as a mortal. Although, I suppose, he came close to it. When he told the Pharisees, how will you escape from the judgment of Gehenna? Because he could see that they were rejecting the Messiah. They were rejecting him and his miracles as signs that he was the Messiah. They rejected Jesus, despite having seen him. I mean, it's very easy for someone who lives, as we do, thousands of years after Jesus, it's easy for us to reject Jesus because we didn't see him in real life. But these Pharisees, these religious leaders, not just the Pharisees, the Sadducees, other sects that were in power, religious power, they could see Jesus. They saw his works. They heard about his works. They witnessed his teaching. They witnessed a lot of his doings, and yet they still rejected him right to his face. You know, so their judgment will be according to their works also, just like all of us. But there it is. With the measure that you are measuring out, it will measure out to you is another thing. Jesus was generous in his giving his time and his healing powers and his teachings, his compassion. He was generous. And that's another thing. Now, not all of us are in a circumstance where we can actually give our energy because we need our energy. Perhaps we feel we do. We need the energy that we have to do something else that's essential. When we're busy, for example, we might feel we're too busy to be generous to other people. That's possible. It's true that it at least seems that way at times. But when we're in a circumstance, when we can find a way to be generous, it's going to be coming back to us, is what that scripture says. They will measure it out to you. Right? With the same measure that you measure out to others. It's just something to keep in mind to see if we can be generous. And sometimes someone else who's generous can inspire us to be generous. The generosity of Jesus and of Jehovah and even of other humans, even today, some of the humans that we see today can inspire us to be generous to others. So this is Ward Green. It's October 9th, 2022, 1747 hours. I better say goodbye for now because I think we're getting into up to 50. I guess now it's 56 minutes. So have an excellent day and enjoy life. Be grateful, count your blessings, and understand the undeserved kindness that comes from Jehovah, that we were given life as a gift. That we did not deserve it, but we were given it, and that nothing is by chance. And I love you. Bye for now.